Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
If your appliances can't handle the holiday hosting heat, December deal drops at Lowe's makes upgrading easy. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members save an additional $40 on the Whirlpool electric range and the over-the-range microwave. Plus, get up to 60% off select ladders so you can deck all the halls. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/10. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. We are back, and I am alive. It is a miracle. Thank you so much to Carmen for covering last week. But I am very grateful to have such a lovely co-host and friend like Carmen, who is also here.
Yes. So you're Kelsey, and I'm one of the other hosts, yeah. Carmen, and it's a beautiful day to podcast.
I just really had to thank you. I was so grateful.
That was so sweet of you. We learned 2 weeks ago now that the rituals are very important. I just had to get that out there. It's a beautiful.
Yes, no, I agree. Yes, I had the COVID times, and it was quite unpleasant.
And I didn't really say anything.
I know. I was like, I appreciate that he didn't say it, but we believe it came from a child because we don't really go out much, but we were around a child that is not our child, but it apparently is going around that school, but like none of the kids get sick. They just like take it and pass it to all the adults. So it kind of moved slowly through the family and was like staggered from one to the other. Luckily, Scarlett fared very well, but I was struggling with the only coughing. I never had the fever, but man, did I have the cough, and it was unpleasant.
Yeah, I did not envy that when I and also because of very strict HIPAA laws, I couldn't share any of your confidential medical
because
history.
Because you're a doctor, my specific
I'm a doctor. Yes, I am your doctor. so many rabbit holes. So I didn't say anything, but also I was just talking to someone about kids and how disgusting they are today.
There's so many germs.
Someone at work, one of the moms that works on my team, was like, I have to leave early. My kid has pink eye. And I was like, go.
It's going
but like,
around
don't
here.
Bring it to me. I don't want it.
We had to take Scarlett to the doctor this morning because we thought she had it, but she just has really bad allergies and her eyes like get like swollen because she has a clogged tear duct sometimes that flares up. So we took her to be safe because it's also going around here. So like there are a bunch of other kids at school that had it. So we took her and they were like, no, she doesn't have it. She has allergies. And I was like, great.
Well,
but we still have to do eye drops for her, which eye drops on a 2-year-old are not enjoyable.
Yeah, no, eye drops on any year old. Yeah, I don't like eye drops.
I don't like them at all.
If a doctor said that I needed to take the eye drops, I'd say, okay, well, like, look, let's just go ahead and surgically remove them because I'm done. I'm not doing
this.
What
is my other option? No eyes? Great.
Yeah. Let's make this real simple, doc. Before we jump in, it was basically the story ended up being I hadn't gotten, like, I've never gotten a flu once in my entire life until moving out to Orlando. And then just being around kids all day working at Disney, I got the flu within the first month of working there because kids just go around and, like, lick the freaking roller lines.
Kids
and, like,
will
the
lick
poles
it. If it is,
shit.
Like, at their mouth level, they will just open their mouth and put it on. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah. Absolutely disgusting. Anyways, Kelsey, it is good to see you. It's good to see you alive and well, and well lit over there too.
Yes, not I turned a floating the light head on today.
Very smart.
Your beard is just—it's so floofy. When was the last time you did a trim? I feel like I haven't seen it this floofy in ages.
Yeah, I know.
This is like
honestly,
early pandemic floof.
I'm just so lazy.
I feel that.
I like literally I have to trim my mustache hair because it will grow yeah. over my lip line. Mm-hmm. But I don't just go and just buzz my beard. I don't have the time. And I think I want to grow my hair long. Not like long, like your right, hair, right? Yeah. But I want to grow it long enough to where like it's shorter on the side and it's more voluptuous.
Oh,
and it's got
yes.
some nice, or maybe some like, I don't know. We'll see. I probably won't, but it's nice to think about it. But yeah, I need to trim my beard up for sure. Especially because I'm not requiring my team to wear masks anymore on the floor.
Oh.
So it's all optional. And my dear wife is also not wearing her mask at work. So I'm like, if you're not, I'm not. Like, and you're the one with a baby, breastfeeding yeah. at your teat. So,
well,
anyways,
that
tell
makes
us about
her be able to hear people better. I mean, she can read lips easier when there's no
yeah.
masks.
Yeah. Yeah, she could read the lips, but that's no problem for me, except right now with a microphone right in front of your face.
Yep.
I can't read your lips, but I can hear you perfectly fine. You sound wonderful, my friend.
Oh, thanks so much. I finally sound like I'm not dying, except when I
Which
still
is
have
good.
A little bit of the lingering cough, but I will mute it so no one has to listen to it. Gabe really wanted me to bleep it every time I coughed on the other one, but it's too much coughing.
Which you did not do.
I did not do that, but... okay, so let's get into it. This is episode 22 of the second season. It is the 31st episode overall, and it is called The Name of the Game, and that is a very, very catchy song by ABBA, and every time I look at it, I sing the song.
it is a very catchy song by ABBA. Also, we are big fans of ABBA in this this friendship
we
group.
Stan.
We do stan.
That was the first musical I saw on Broadway was Mamma Mia.
I watched Mamma Mia 2. I've never seen Mamma Mia 1, but I only watched Mamma Mia because of me liking ABBA. But and also Lily James. Is wonderful. But anyway, so The Name of the Game was released in 1977 by our band here, as aforementioned ABBA, which is a Swedish band, in case you didn't know. Had a decent amount of critical acclaim. It reached as high as number one on the UK singles, reached as high as number 12 on the US Billboard Hot 100. It was a little bit of a flash in the pan. It was number one for 4 weeks in the UK singles charts, but by the end of the year, it went down to 16, which is still great. I mean, listen, when you're putting out anything that gets on the Billboard Hot 100, you're doing all right. It was released as the B-side. From the album I Wonder, and it was one of the singles. So like I said, already released in 1977 on October 17th in Sweden and October 14th in the US, and also October 14th in the UK. So love to see it. Not my favorite ABBA song. I'm really more of a Waterloo or When I Kiss the Teacher. Oh, so good.
I like Thank You for the Music. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really. We could probably do a whole podcast just about ABBA songs, but can you just spoil this? Oh, go ahead.
Did you, as a 90s child, experience A-Teens, which was like a teen group in the 90s that just sang cover songs of ABBA for like children in the 90s?
No, I don't
know.
I
didn't know, like, that was my first introduction to ABBA songs. I don't know if they were on the radio or like if they were playing on like Nickelodeon or something. I don't know how I would have found them, but I found that. And then at some point, one of my parents was like, "What the fuck is this?" And then like, they were like, "No, this is ABBA." And that was my introduction to ABBA. But it's like A and then the little asterisk teens, and it's like a group of people. And that was all they did was cover ABBA songs in the 90s.
Literally never heard that. I thought that was like a ripoff of the toy Bratz for some reason. I was like, you remember A-Teens? And I was like, I remember Bratz. I remember, what were those Pogs? Those little like flip, what was the motor, yeah, the skateboard guys? Yeah, anyways, all the stuff that I was too poor to have as a kid.
Yeah, I didn't have Pogs either. Look at that. That's knockoff 90s
wow.
ABBA.
Wow, that is knockoff 90s ABBA. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
They toured with Robin Sparkles.
They were also a Swedish pop music group. So, like, I don't know. There's an ABBA tribute band. I don't know why they wanted to only do ABBA songs as teenagers in the 90s, but good for them.
Maybe there was a really big niche following. Maybe the 90s was just like all ABBA, and then punk rock took over.
You know what? The 90s was a good time.
In the 2000s was better.
In some ways. Oh my God, this child. Sorry. I'm like, this baby will not stop beating this shit out of my insides. It's fine. Everything's fine. Okay, so good job. Thank you for that education on ABBA.
You're welcome. Thank you for all the education you're about to bring us. Because you're so welcome. You do way more research.
This episode was written by Blythe Robe, which, what a name. And was directed by Seeth Mann.
Blythe and Seeth, what a combo. Yes.
This
speaking of ABBA.
April 2nd, 2006, still a Sunday, I checked. 22.3 million views. And let me get to my Netflix synopsis. Oh, no.
And the whole system crashes. Also, wait, while you're pulling that up, can we start with a quick review shout out?
Oh, yeah. Do that while I get to here.
Let's do that. Also, I don't know if our friend from Malaysia reached back out. Kelsey, did we get any email response back? I read her whole email last episode.
She had responded.
Did she respond?
She had responded and said that she was fine if we said her name, and then said that she had been on holiday. It was a holiday in Malaysia. So Cheyenne, we hope you have a lovely holiday.
Yes. And also, I just want to shout out. So I'm going to peer pressure anyone who listens to us to send us an email. Please, write us a review.
It's so fun.
It's so great. And also, while we're at it, because if you didn't listen to the last episode, our listener Cheyenne from Malaysia was like, I talk about it so much, so I just might as well. Carmen talks about it. We ask all the time, so we're just going to email in. But also, Germany and Canada, are neck and neck. It's the U.S., then it's Germany, Canada, Malaysia are a three-way tie. And anyone listening from Brazil, you are in a very close third-place spot here. So if you're from any of those countries, number one, tell your friends about this show because we love international listeners. And number two, write us an email because Kelsey will see it.
It's so cool. And most of the emails we get are like from, it's just like, what is it? Why do I want to say bookkeeping kind of things? But just like general things like, oh, is this your podcast? Yes, it is. Okay, cool. Link your email up. So it's like just kind of general like boring things like that. So it's cool when we get to actually hear from real people who just want to say that they're fans. That's just
And what
neat.
Is our email, Kelsey?
It is graysacademypod@gmail.com.
Yes, it is. All right, let's see. I'm going to go in order of oldest to newest, and we'll do another shout out next week. So this one here is from Leah. The title is Perfect Grays Rewatch Podcast. As someone who has watched this series over and over again, it has been so great to listen to Kelsey and Carmen give their thoughts and views on each episode. ! I have learned so many fun facts from Kelsey about the show that I hadn't known even after all these years of watching. I eagerly await for Thursday drop each week to hear Carmen's reactions to classic Grey's moments and the Living in Chandeland jingle. It's a beautiful day to listen to this podcast. So sweet.
Thank you, Leah.
Also, all of you listeners out there, you're getting a treat because you're going to hear the Living in Chandeland jingle twice this episode. What?
Yes, I know. Wow. It's a joyous day here.
Yes.
All right. So let's read the Netflix synopsis for this episode. Oh my God, a bug just flew at the window. It scared the shit out of me.
I'm on the second floor, and I like thought it was a person. It was a very large bug. Okay.
Remember when you tried to gaslight me and tell me that a bird didn't actually fly into your window? Completely.
I didn't think it did. I really thought it just made a very aggressive turn at the last second, but it had actually hit the window and fallen
to its death.
Carmen was like arguing with me, and I was like convinced that it had just at the last second made like a 100-degree turn and just gone the other way.
Just completely defying the laws of physics.
And Michael's dad comes in and is like, no, that bird straight up flew into the window. And I was like, oh, okay.
For some reason, you're convinced that I have the capacity to lie in any way. And that's just not true.
It's like your favorite activity is lying.
No, it's not.
But like, it's just, it's fine. It doesn't matter. Okay. The name of the game. Okay. Oh, Netflix says, Bailey fears she's being mommy tracked. Izzy is not a fan of George's new romantic interest. Meredith learns shocking information about her father.
Bum, bum, bum.
Three whole sentences, guys. Three whole sentences. Actually, that's, I feel like that's a pretty good summation.
Yeah, what was that going was fine. On. It was fine.
Those were the major points, right? Not everything, but big enough. Hit the milestones.
The only thing that I would have added in there is something about Weber.
Derek sucks, but it's fine. Always sucks.
What?
We don't really,
I no, guess no, Weber.
You know, I'm just saying I would add Derek sucks.
Oh, right, right.
But I don't. You don't really need it because at this point you should just know it.
Yeah. Just assume Derek sucks until further notice. Until I have deemed that he doesn't suck anymore, he continues to suck.
Although this one, I feel like... Okay, we'll get into it. Okay, let's get started with the recap. Okay. We have the Ellis-Richard-Thatcher triangle.
Yes.
The George looking like Thatcher throwback. The George and Meredith unfortunate event. The Callie and George beginnings, I guess. That was pretty much it. So
yeah.
Did you, obviously this kind of a giveaway that Thatcher would be in this episode.
Yeah, I knew Thatcher was going to be there. The only other thought was, is Mark going to return yet? That didn't happen. Spoiler, it didn't happen.
It did not. Will it ever? Who's to say?
It's going to happen.
Who told you that?
You!
Was it a stranger on the street?
Yeah, hey, stranger on the street, no spoilies. I'm going to say it again later, but just so you don't forget, if you see me, you can ask for an autograph, but don't spoil the show.
Okay, so we start off and Meredith is knitting in the bar. Derek is there. Addison is there. It's kind of weird, but in my opinion, Derek is not being a dick to Addison. He's not being great, but he's not being near as bad as he usually is.
It's true. Also, fun fact for anyone watching this show, Kelsey, I don't know if you knew, but this episode aired in 2006, right?
Yes.
Okay. So during this time, Seattle actually had a basketball team. During this time frame, it was the Seattle Supersonics, and the 2007-2008 season was their last season played in Seattle until they moved to Oklahoma City, which they were then known as the Thunder. They still are a team. They're okay. If you've heard of the name Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, or James Harden, you would have known them as their big three from Oklahoma City. They never won a championship there together. But they played 41 seasons in Seattle. Just wanted to share that little fun fact.
Well, how fun.
Did you know any of that?
No, but I've heard that name of the Kevin Fellow once before. That's the only one I've recognized.
The Kevin Fellow.
That Kevin Fellow. What is he up to now? Why do I know his name?
Well, he's still a basketball player. I believe off the top of my head, he plays for Brooklyn, Brooklyn Nets.
Did he like date a celebrity? Why do I know who he is?
Kevin Durant. I don't know that he, I mean, he, I'm sure he has dated a celebrity.
That's the name that I know. That was the only one of those three that I recognize. So
do you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Yes, I do. Did he date one of them?
No. But I think Courtney's the one who's dated multiple. Was she? No.
No.
Who was the one who was really? Married to Lamar Odom and Tristan? Okay, Chloe. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched Travis Barker propose last night.
Yes, I watched that episode also this week. That's the newest episode. It was the time. It's a weird couple. But you know what? I'm glad for them. They really seem happy, and that's what
they found each other.
That's what we want for everybody.
It's true.
A pairing I would have not predicted, but good for them. Okay, so let's see. Yeah, Addison is also at the bar. No one's being rude. It's like a titsy bit awkward, but not terrible.
I thought it was cute, actually.
Just a touch. Yeah, she's like, "Oh, we're friends. I'm just asking because we're friends." And Meredith's like, "Yeah, Meredith's not being a rude about it." Derek's probably on the inside being like, ugh, I can't believe both of these beautiful women that I love are right here together. But on the outside, he was like, okay, everything's fine. And Joe is just like, you can't knit in my bar. You're scaring away all my customers. I love Joe so much.
He's funny. Time.
He's a good little comic relief to the show. We love it.
I also want you to know that if I walked into a bar and someone was knitting, I'd also be concerned.
I would be like, yo, tell me one time I tried to start knitting and I was really terrible at it. So I would love to be good at it, but I'm just very bad at it.
People would knit all the time on public transit in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's fine.
My sister knits and she'll just do it like while she watches TV and she can crank out like a 6-foot blanket in like 10 hours. It's absurd. And so she tried to teach me how to knit, which was a terrible idea for so many reasons, because we should never try and teach each other anything. But the first time I asked her how to teach me how to knit a long time ago, she just brought me a DVD that said how to knit and she just slid it under my door. And then later on in life, she was like, okay, I'll teach you how to knit. And she actually taught me and it made no sense because she would watch me do it. And then the line would come out and it would be like not a straight line. It would be like a triangle. She's like, I don't know what you're doing, but it's bad. I was like, yeah, that tracks. So yeah. I cannot knit, but I think it would be, it's just like, she doesn't even have to look at it. She just will like watch TV and just be like, and then there's a blanket.
Yeah, that's incredible. Tell your sister that that's incredible.
I will. So.
But it's a celibacy vow and she's trying to knit to take her mind off of sex, apparently.
Mm-hmm. So she's knitting so that she doesn't drink, so that she doesn't make terrible sex choices.
Right.
So she is sober. But really, she's celibate. And because she's celibate, she has to be sober. But to be sober, she has to knit, I guess. She just needs a hobby that isn't tequila shots, Carmen.
Yeah. Hey, easy. Tequila is a hobby, and I will die on that hill. What is that? Is that the transitive property of math? If A equals B, then B equals C, so A equals C?
Yeah.
That's her celibacy vow, is the transitive property of geometry.
That sounds about right. Okay, so then we go, Izzy is... I guess mad that George is dating. So I don't know if she's mad that he's dating someone or she's just mad that she doesn't like have all the information and like know this person.
Bingo.
I don't know. She's just bitching to Denny about it because they're together again.
Which is inappropriate.
Izzy's brand is inappropriate.
Are we supposed to be led to believe that she's off the clock today? She's spending her day literally off with this dead guy.
And I'm just like, how has no one said anything yet? Like the only person who seems annoyed is Alex.
And okay, let me just pause right there because Alex gets shit on by Burke all episode. Where is Burke right now?
Honestly, this is one of my favorite Alex episodes.
Oh, it's great. It's a good one.
Okay. So, Denny is hitting on Izzy while they're hanging out and she's like pretending to not really acknowledge it, but she's super into it. She's like, ha, 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 oh my God, you put Mount down. Oh my God, sex, sex Scrabble. Okay, good time.
That was perfect. Thanks. That was perfect, Izzy.
Sounded just like her. And Denny's like, you promised me sex if I stayed here and you didn't give me sex. And she's like, what are you talking about? So,
and he's like, well, I must have made it up in my head.
Just imagine saying that to your doctor.
And then I'm sure there's a porn like that.
Oh my God, so funny. Please.
Yeah. The only difference between that scene and a porn is that they end up having sex.
Yep. And that they'd probably both be naked at the beginning of it. for no reason whatsoever.
She would be a doctor in some sort of like...
But she would like open up the doctor's coat and there would be no clothes. She would just already be naked underneath it for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, I dropped my pen. Takes off the entire jacket.
Oh, it's so hot in here for surgery.
Get me a bag of O negative stat. Pours it all over her boobies. this is why we're not showrunners. We can't even stay on track. Our North Star is just to be ridiculous.
We're doing great. Okay, so Christina and Burke, we're at Christina and Burke's apartment. George is still there. Poor Christina. And Callie and George are there, and they're all playing charades. And Christina is not shockingly very competitive, right? No one's surprised by that.
No one.
So Burke loses on purpose to make her mad, and it's actually very funny, and I think it's very cute. I just think the scene is very cute.
Oh, wait. Did he really lose on purpose?
Yes.
Oh.
Do you really not get that?
No, I didn't get that. I just thought that he was actively trying to not be competitive.
I mean, I think because that's how he was doing
cute
it.
For... Okay. No, that's funny. I didn't get that vibe. That's hilarious.
Because, yeah. He obviously knew, and he was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Oh, Madonna. Yes. Which, sidebar, Michael had never heard Like a Prayer until yesterday, and I played it for him, and I was like... It's like she's talking about a blowjob, but she makes it sound like she's not. And I played it for him and he was like, she does not make it sound like she's not talking about it. Like she's very clear. That's very clearly the only thing she could possibly be talking about.
Very clearly.
Oh, Madonna. Gosh. Good times. Madonna will not be in this show, but one of her songs will have a large part in an episode in the future.
Like a virgin?
Maybe.
Live in a material world?
Maybe.
Or material girl
we'll
is the song?
We'll have to see when we get there.
Well, that's the extent of
if
my Madonna song knowledge.
If we ever get there
knowledge.
In 17 years. okay. So it's just funny. And then Meredith and Izzy are both knitting. Christina's ranting about Burke not knowing who Madonna is. Just hilarious. And then trying to figure out how to get George out of the apartment. So good times.
Meredith in that conversation says one of the funniest, driest things that I've ever heard her say. And it's, I'm paraphrasing, sleep with him and then in the middle start uncontrollably crying and then he will stop talking to you.
Yeah.
That is just so funny. And it's such, she's saying it while vigorously knitting. Yeah. And I'm like, that's like low key the funniest thing she's ever said.
So true. I like Meredith she still wants to like smooth things over with George, but she's also like kind of moving on from it and being like, you know what? I'm doing the only thing I can do, which is apologize. I can't harp on it. Yeah. So, Burke and Alex are in the operating room on this patient that we see later on. And they're basically like, oh, she's going to die. Like this cancer is everywhere. We can do nothing. She will die in like 3 months, I think is what they said. Maybe, I'm not really sure. So that's not good. Then we have Derek talking to Addison, like in the hallway, and he's being nice. It's like a normal relationship. But he does say, this is where we find out that Doc is not feeling very good. So Derek had taken him to the vet. And it was another kind of like dry thing when Addison's like, oh, what are you going to do? And he goes on this like tirade of like a treatment plan. And she's like, really? And he goes, no, Addison, it's a dog. I took him to the vet.
It was very funny.
But it was actually like kind of a nice moment. And I don't really know how we got to this point from the last episode where it didn't really like it seemed like they were still in the awkward Derek just sucking, and then it kind of just cuts to this episode where he just seems like he likes Addison now. And I don't really, I mean, I'm happier with it because it's less annoying to me, but I don't really understand how we got from point A to point B. Had it been like two episodes ago where at the end of the episode, he had said all that stuff where he was like, oh, I am partially responsible for what our relationship has become. Like, if that had been the end of last episode to here, it would make more sense. But that was like two episodes ago. And then last episode, he was annoying. And then now he's just, I don't know. I just thought it was strange.
Yeah. It's like, it's the magic of TV, right? It's mm-hmm. TV magic. Are you ever going to watch the show New Amsterdam, or can I spoil something
for
you?
You
can
spoil it. I'll probably forget if I decide to watch it.
There's an episode where one of the main characters has a stroke and she loses her like communication ability, and like it's like really, she's going through therapy for it. And at the end of the episode, she's basically talking to her boyfriend and they have a cute moment. And then the next episode, she completely can talk normal. And I'm like, excuse me. Can we get some more context here? And that's what I feel like this was too. I've had the exact same feeling of Derek and Addison are too cute. Because even at Joe's bar in the background, when it's zooming in on Meredith, they're like sitting at the table and he like puts his arm around her.
Yeah.
In public.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Okay, so then we go and Christina's taking that like seminar class thing on laparoscopic surgery, which is very cool. I've had laparoscopic surgery once. They went in through my belly button. It was neat.
Ooh.
And there was like no very minimal scarring. And the chief is also there. Bum, bum, bum. Which I think is cool. Like, just a cool kind of character trait that he's like, oh, I want to, you know, make sure I'm on top of like procedures and know all this stuff. Like, even though I've been doing this a long time, there's still always stuff to learn, which I think is a nice outlook, no matter what profession you're in.
Yeah, agreed completely. But also, we should acknowledge that Christina is a giant teacher's pet.
Well, yeah, but that's not surprising.
No, not even a little bit.
Where are we? Oh, okay. So then we meet Addison's patient. And this girl is pregnant. She is 22 years old. That is so young to be married and pregnant. That's crazy to me to think about what I was doing at 22. I'm like, thank God I did not get married at 22. Like, obviously they explained later, like, military spouse and stuff. And you know what? Sometimes that works out for people. I have friends that got married very young and have been married for a very long time and are very happy. But just me personally, like thinking about like who I was at 22 and what I was doing, I'm like, thank God that I did not decide at that point to pick someone to marry.
Yeah, 100%. And also, so I know quite a few military couples, and it's like a 50-50 split of those who are still together and those who aren't. So if you are together, kudos, great job. And if you aren't, you still deserve to find love. And I hope that you find love.
Yeah. I also know people who got married to the like people they met when we were in high school, which is truly crazy to me. I mean, like, it's cool that you could find someone and grow that much. Cause think about who you were in high school, like, wow, to who you are now. And like to stay compatible with all that change. That's crazy.
But high school but sweetheart also, thing, never understood it.
I mean, it's very impressive to me because I, again, thinking about that, I'm like, thank goodness I didn't, high school Kelsey wasn't picking someone to marry. Cause I don't think she would have picked someone that current Kelsey likes very much. So this girl is 22 years old and her baby, now I can't remember what the issue with the baby is, but Addison like has to do surgery on the baby.
It's something about like, so it stressed. Exploded.
Like, I that was another episode.
Right.
That was the bomb. you're just traumatized from the bomb. But yeah, I can't even think about being like knowing how stressed I was during my first pregnancy, like imagining if there was also a complication and going back in time and being 22 years old, like, oh my God, I would just be like a mess. I can't imagine.
And your spouse isn't even there. Your spouse is somewhere on the rest other side of the world.
All like military spouses who like have to go through that kind of stuff alone. I don't know how you do it. You're just so strong. That's crazy. And my thoughts are always with parents who are doing it on their own or doing it with someone who travels, because that is, whew, man, I need a lot of help. So I don't know how people do it.
Imagine being Alexander Hamilton at the Battle of Yorktown when he's telling everyone to take the bullets out of their guns to move undercover and move as one because he has to start a new nation and has got to meet his son.
I will imagine that. Remember when you didn't even want to see Hamilton?
We were recording with Nathan and he said something about this song and I was like, oh yeah, this song. And he's like, wait, what? It was like one obscure line.
Yeah. He coughed and then you just sang all of Hamilton.
Yeah. I owe all of my Hamilton love to Kelsey and Michael. Let the record show.
Okay, so Thatcher is there in the hallway and asks George if Meredith is there, and he's like, yeah, why? Are you her dad? And then
scene was wild.
Did you think that when you saw Thatcher, did you think, oh, that's why he was there? Like, what was your thought when you initially saw him?
I didn't know. I had no thought. And then he's like, oh yeah, something. I got a daughter here daughter here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh fuck. That's his. He's the grandpa of the baby of Addison's patient. This shit's wild. But it didn't click to me until later that she has a sister. So yeah. Like, I was so focused on Thatcher being there that it didn't even click about the whole sister thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, and it also kind of takes a minute, I feel like, for the audience to put it together of like, she has a half sister that she didn't know existed. And this girl is 22 years old. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. It took me a second too. And then, spoiler, there's another sister.
Yep.
There's another whole ass sister.
Yep.
Well, half ass sister.
Well, whole ass half sister.
Whole ass. That's a whole half. That's a fuck. That's a whole ass half sister. That was hard. That's a tongue twister. That was a good one. Ugh.
Okay. So then we see Dr. Bailey and she's like, Derek, let me be on surgery with you. And he's like, why? I need an intern. And she's like, the chief is trying to mommy track me because I had a baby and now he's mad about it. And please, dear God, let me do surgery. So she goes to bully Derek. He's like, you're freaking out. And she goes, I have not even begun to freak out, which I just love so much.
That's savage.
So then Callie shows up when Izzy's shit talking like she does and makes Izzy and Meredith come with her so that they can do some ortho. Did I not write down where the... I must have not.
You missed it. It was right before that Bailey scene. It's 9 minutes and 40 seconds.
We like find out that Thatcher is the dad of that girl. I was like, I remember when it was, so I just didn't write it down.
Yeah. Yeah. 9 minutes, 40 seconds after the Thatcher reveal before the Bailey freak out. The Bailey fake freak out.
Yeah. So Izzy and Meredith are helping Callie reset some guy's hip or something that seems painful and terrible.
And I couldn't tell if the guy was awake or not.
I feel like typically they are. Not in life, but in this show. Typically when they're like resetting bones, they're always awake because it's more dramatic.
But like they're talking about some pretty
personal
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. And there's also like other doctors in the room or other maybe nurses, other hospital staff.
Oh, other also, humans.
We should say this current week that this will release in is Nurse Appreciation Week. So thank you to all the nurses and all the hospital staff. We appreciate everything you do. And I could literally never do that job because it is just so crazy and insane. So thank you all so much. We appreciate you.
Yes. You said it so well. I just agree with everything. It's great.
So Alex tells the patient that they can't do anything. Basically, she's going to die. The daughter comes in and she like cuts Alex and Burke off. And it's basically like very clear that she has not told this daughter the extent of her illness. So that's kind of a bummer. Okay, so then Christina and the chief are, I am so sorry. It's, 2 a.m. as per always.
2 a.m. as per always.
Christina and the chief are in the little seminar and they're working with the scopes, and Christina's doing a better job, and like it's awkward because they're like watching each other and he's the chief and she's an intern, but she's doing a better job. And then he's like, I'm not trying to copy you. It's really weird. So then Izzy is throwing shade at Callie and she's throwing shade back. And then Izzy finds George, and George says something. Oh, he's like, oh, I can't escape her or something like that. And Izzy's like, oh man, thank God, because I also hate her. Because Izzy's talking about Callie and George is talking about Meredith. And it's awkward.
That was, like, I knew that that was happening. Literally, as that was coming out of her mouth, I was like, dude, just Izzy, stop. Yeah. Izzy, yeah. No.
Also, I'm just like, get over yourself. Like, I don't understand. Like, you don't know this girl. Like, you're just mad at George for not, what is he supposed to do? Parade every person in his life past you for your approval? Like, all you're doing is trying to have sex with your patient. So, like, you're really busy right now.
Yeah, everyone really just needs to calm down, honestly.
Truthfully, inappropriate is what it is. So George tells Izzy about Meredith's dad and sister being there, and he's like, now it's your problem and I don't have to worry about it anymore. And then we see Derek and Miranda doing the brain surgery. They're doing awake brain surgery, which is our favorite thing, and it is on like a 12-year-old, which is crazy.
I hate all awake brain surgeries. It truly stressful. Is the worst. Well, and then
very
even so is
thing to think about.
It's crazy because when you think about the next scene that comes up with them, it's like he loses his ability and then it comes back. Like they just fix the brain or some shit like that. That's not just, I can't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah. Brains freak me out because they're like, why is it so easy to mess it up when it's like
brains and eyes
controls your ability to exist?
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
unsettling.
Brains and eyes. I don't like those surgeries.
Yeah. Yeah. So he is, going to be in like the National Spelling Bee. And so they have him spell to make sure that they like are in the certain areas of the brain that they need to be in. So that's fun. Addison finds George and is like, what are you doing? Why are you not doing what I want? Like, when you're on my case, I need you to be on my case. Like, what is wrong with you? And he goes on this long rant about how Molly's
God hates him.
Maiden name is Gray because it's Meredith's half sister, but Meredith doesn't know that she has a half sister. And he goes on this rant and Addison's just like, okay. And I think it's a funny moment.
It's a great moment. And then George storms away and goes, and apparently God hates me, and then runs away.
Yes. Which, you know, who knows? Maybe. Who's to
he
say?
Gets a lot of good mic drop moments, even though he's just a piece of garbage most of the time.
He's pretty annoying still. Not as annoying as he has been previously, but still pretty annoying to me. Because I'm like, just let it go. Just please, please, just please.
Get over it.
Move on. Or at least make an effort to let it go. Like, he's not even trying to get over it. I don't know. Okay. Dr. Burke's patient is trying to leave because she doesn't want her daughter to find out that she's dying. And it's like her daughter's birthday. She doesn't want to spend her daughter's birthday in the hospital. And Alex basically scares her into staying, but Burke is like mad. He's like, don't talk to people like that, blah blah blah, whatever. Which I'm like, well, it worked though.
Yes. Also,
sometimes you gotta get people to listen.
I did recognize her, and I was like, I know who that person is. It's Laurie Metcalf. She is Roseanne's sister in Roseanne.
Yes. Also, we will take this moment to do Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland.
There's none of them, but
wait, what?
There's none of them because we've done like, I mean, the only one I could think is like Thatcher is in other stuff, but we've already covered that. But I will say Jeff Perry, who plays Thatcher, and Laurie Metcalf, who played this lady, used to be married in real life And
what?
Now they're not. Yep. And I think they were divorced before this episode filmed. So, like, it wasn't an issue. They like weren't together at all. And then later on, and I think like season 7 or 8, maybe, they have a daughter in real life. And she is an actress who is also on the show later on. So that's my wow. fun fact.
Shonda so, keeps it in the family.
She does. Also, Laurie Metcalf voices Andy's mom in all the Toy Story movies. So that's fun.
Oh my gosh, she does. Wow. This so Grey's Anatomy is Disney canon now.
I don't know if that's true.
It is all. Illuminati confirmed.
I don't think so. But she is the voice of Andy's mom. Okay, so the chief comes. Oh, this is fun. When they're having lunch and the chief comes over and sits and Christina and George and Izzy, and it's super awkward. And he's like making his coffee and he's like, oh, Christina's kicking my ass. And she's like, no. And then he leaves and she's like, oh my God, I so am.
That was a good scene.
It's very funny.
It's it is interesting though too, because right before that, so obviously they're talking about a lot of heavy stuff, but yeah. He was like, yeah, can you imagine a whole family that you don't know about? So actually, fun fact, I'm not going to go into the details, but that's actually my life.
Yeah. And so a very recent discovery.
No, I've known that my entire life.
Oh, I thought it was more recent.
No, it's more recent for Jess to know. But
which is why because then she told me.
Yeah. I got a half sibling floating around somewhere in the world. So that's cool.
Fun times.
Yeah.
Fun family drama times.
Love the family drama.
So Meredith comes over, George gets up and leaves so fast, and I could not roll my eyes hard enough. And Meredith is like, you know what's weird? I think I saw my dad. And Izzy's like, oh, good. And Christina goes, oh, did you meet your sister too? Which I'm just like, okay, Christina, I love you so much, but come on. You must do better than this.
Yeah. I made a note. I was like, Christina Yang, more like Christina. Dang, girl, come on down. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, that's she said, I think I saw my dad. Not I had a conversation with my dad in person and he told me about his life.
It's so bad. You're like, why? Why is this happening? It's just bad.
It's nuts.
Okay, so then we cut to Derek and Bailey operating on the spelling boy, and he starts to kind of lose some control of his speech. Derek saves it, whatever, everything's fine. Miranda gets a little bit emotional, which is very cute, and she's like, it's not my fault, it's the hormones. And then she's like, can you spell estrogen? And he does, and then Derek goes, can you spell delusional? It's pretty funny.
That was funny. There's a scene in my all-time favorite TV show, Psych, where they break into a spelling bee competition because there's been a murder, and they were in the room that they announced the words. And he's like, I can't think of any hard words. So he starts reading off of his shopping list, and he's like, banana, onion. And they're like, are you serious? And then they spell it, and it made me think of that. It brought joy to my heart. But spelling bees are serious. They like you could get a whole ass college degree scholarship from that.
Have you ever watched them though? Like these kids, first of all, are so smart, but they'll like spell it out like in the air. They'll like write it in the air with their hands. It's crazy to me. Like that's just not how my brain works. So I'm just every time they do it, or they're just like on their hand, and I'm like, wow, incredible.
It's impressive. I do math in the air in my hand sometimes, but that's, I'll be like writing it
simple
down.
Simple math, like addition.
Carry the one.
yes. Seven.
I said carry the one.
I know what you said.
Gosh.
Good times. Okay, so... the final little task in the class that Christina and the chief are in, and they're like ready to fight. They're like ready to go into battle. Like who's going to win? Who will it be? And it's very funny. And Addison sees Meredith. Oh, this is actually a very nice moment, I feel like, for Addison. She sees Meredith outside the door and has her come in, but doesn't like say, you know, this is your sister. She's like, oh, this is Meredith. Like, why don't, she's just going to help for a minute. Just kind of gives Meredith the opportunity to like talk to her without the pressure of being like, I'm your sister, whatever. It's cool. It's a nice moment. Molly's super nice to Meredith. She's kind of rambling, so Meredith is getting a lot of information about her own family very quickly. And she's like, oh my God, my dad's like the best dad ever. And Meredith is like, oh, how interesting, because he's also the worst. and then she's like, oh, and we have this other, I have this other sister who goes to Harvard Med School, and she's like gonna, she's so smart, blah, 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 all this stuff. My dad's like obsessed with her. Oh my God, he cried at my wedding when he gave me away. And so it's weird. I cannot truly imagine that moment for Meredith. Like, I really can't imagine being in that position.
It's not just weird. It's like, it's
overwhelming.
It's downright sad. Everything that she has wanted and yearned for, maybe not recently, because I think that over the past maybe 2 years or so that I think we're led to believe is going on with everything with Ellis has jaded her quite a bit. But you got to imagine a lot of those formative years, the high school, the middle school, college, all that. And to hear... what's her name? Molly?
Yeah.
Molly say things like, you know, it's just my dad is overprotective and I'm his little girl. And, you know, my older sister, she's in medical school at Harvard and he's just so crazy proud. And it's like, that's all of the affirmation that I'm sure Meredith has wanted from her father for 20 years and never got. And that's sad. That's downright devastating. Sad.
Yeah. And so then she very reasonably has a freak out moment and like goes to Callie and is like, I need you to let me break something. And so she like smashes up a plaster cast and gets out all of her aggression. And Izzy is there still shit talking because she just doesn't stop ever. She never stops. And Callie just like, she's like, oh, you guys just don't see him. He's just George. And he makes my world stop and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, this is difficult for me to believe. Like, you can just say that you like him. This is too much. But then Izzy goes, George is her McDreamy. And I'm like, that's disgusting. I can truly not wrap my brain around that concept.
Yeah, that's a bit of an overstretch. There's no world where George is anyone's McDreamy. Look at his hair alone. I don't know. I've never in my entire life met someone and within, you got to think they've been involved for what, 3 or 4 episodes now? So let's say maybe a month that they've known that each other exists. And she goes, oh, you're the heart in the elevator guy. I don't think there's anyone in my entire life that I've known for less than a month that I could say, this person makes my heart stop.
Yeah.
That's a bit dramatic. This episode
was really confusing to me about the timeline for their relationship, because they're clearly like hanging out because they were at Burke and Christina's apartment at the beginning of the episode. And then skipping ahead to the end, I felt like it was framed as though that was their first kiss, which doesn't make any sense to me. Like when they kiss at the end, when she's cutting his hair, I felt that they framed it as though that was the first time they had kissed, because he pulls her around and then there's like a pause and then they kiss. And I was like, am I supposed to believe that they have not kissed yet? Cause that
I didn't get that vibe. I didn't get that feeling. It was romantic tension. I think they were going to fuck. but I think anyone can fuck. Just say whatever you want, do whatever you want. I don't care. I think it was, just this dramatic thing, because imagine you walk in on someone that you're starting to like get involved with and they actually live in the hospital. That's like a big red flag. And then he's like, hey, can you cut my hair? And by the way, let me just look at you.
Make out.
Yeah. Also, I would never in a trillion billion years ask Jessica to cut my hair. Never.
Well, you would also never cut your own hair the way he did. So
No, I'm not.
You're
a
just
mental
weirder about
patient.
Your hair.
I'm just not on the verge anyways. Of a mental breakdown at all times over a girl that I half girl. Had sex with.
Okay, so then we cut back to that class, and Richard is like doing the little scopey thing, but his eyes are closed, and he finishes first, and then he wins, and then he sings his song. This gets stuck in my head all the time. I don't know why. It will like come out of nowhere when he's like, "That's why I'm the chief. That's why I'm the chief. They call me the Dr. Weber." So funny. It's so
and
good. He's,
and then the guy is like, flawless work. Yeah. It is that. So, okay, we have my single favorite line coming from Meredith when she tells Christina mm-hmm. to have sex with George and until she cries and then he'll never talk to her again. And then this is my favorite hands down Weber moment. Yeah. They're putting a lot of good content in this episode.
Yeah, for sure. Then we go back to Alex and that lady and he's like mad because she's hasn't told the daughter and he's basically like she's gonna hate you when you die because you knew and you didn't tell her. And Burke hears and pulls him out into the this is truly one of my favorite Alex scenes in the entire series. When he's like about to start lecturing him and he's like, "No, I'm gonna talk this time." And he's like, "I tell people the truth, like that's my thing. Like I'm you can say any shit about me, but like you can never say that I'm not honest." And you can't, he says, "You don't get to take that away from me and call it a lesson, sir." And I just think he delivers that so well. And then it's like, and Burke like truly can't even argue with it. And it's just like, I love that scene so much. And I think it says so much about Alex and like, he's going through a hard time and he's upset right now, but like he still knows who he is and who he wants to be. And I just like, think it's a really great scene.
Yeah, it's also really impressive that he was able to deliver his thoughts to Burke without swearing, being disrespectful. Yeah. He was just very firm and he was very on his stance and he was, "This is who I am and I'm not a lesser of a doctor because of it." You saw earlier in the show, he was literally like, "Oh, you've been doing your homework." Like Burke acknowledged that he's a smart guy and he's working towards things. Don't take I think the quote of you don't get to take that away from me and call it a lesson, sir. It's like shit. That's good. And he's also it's also right. Like if I found out that either one of my parents were dying of cancer, anything, right? And months. Or then I'm at the funeral.
They had known for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the funeral, they go, "Oh, I'm sure this must have been really hard, especially with the diagnosis coming 4 months ago." I'd be like, "I'm sorry, what?"
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, especially I'd go full
because,
on.
Especially because, with that daughter being younger, like she's still a teenager.
Yeah.
She's not an adult. So I understand where he's coming from. And, you know, we know somewhat about his background that he has issues with his parents. So it's I think he's speaking partially from some amount of experience of having difficult parental relationships. And then I just think the whole scene is so well played and so well written. And I just really enjoy it because Alex has kind of been a little all over the place. But it's nice for him to get a moment where we're like, "Yeah, you are a good guy and you are doing a good job and you are trying to do what's right by your patients." And yes, sometimes you can come off like a dick, but ultimately you're still a good person. So it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So then Susan sees Meredith. Susan is Meredith's mom. Or sorry, Thatcher's wife. So Meredith's technically stepmom, I guess. So she sees Meredith. And she's like, you know, it's just kind of a weird scene. Like, Susan seems like a very nice person. I don't think she's trying to do it. Like, I think she thinks she's helping. She's like, "He thinks about you, but like, because Ellis broke him and like you, that's who you're attached with. So like, it's hard for to separate those two things." So I don't know. It's an interesting
scene. I don't think there was any world where, until you get that second scene later, she would have even have attempted to understand what Thatcher was going through at all.
Yeah.
And I can speak, I mean, both of us have divorced parents, so I think it's very, mm-hmm. it's a very interesting thought process of, like, imagine where you didn't get to see one of them your entire life. And
yeah, I really can't. There's a lot of, that.
Yeah, there's a lot of remorse and resentment that's been built up. There's a lot of just overall bad juju that's built up. And it's like this, the mother of your half sister is not going to do anything. Like, just leave it be. Don't even engage.
She was, Meredith was so young when her parents split up. And when you are that young and you don't have your own memories to go off of, you only have whatever the parent who is raising you tells you. And it's been made very clear that Ellis was not a fan of Thatcher. So who knows what was being told?
Garbage.
And then we get the Richard and Thatcher scene, which is very uncomfortable, but I think is another great scene. Like, it's so good. Because he like brings up Ellis and Thatcher's like, how dare you talk to me about her? And how dare you talk to me about Meredith? And he's like, I understand, but like, you need to know what's going on because it's not good. So it's, again, very well played by both of those actors. Just so well delivered, in my opinion.
And good
on
it.
It's a pretty short scene, but like, it really accomplishes a lot.
Yeah. And good on to how they wrote Weber and mm-hmm. Who's the guy who plays that character? What's his name?
Thatcher or Weber?
Weber. Either way, you're looking it up now. I don't know the name of that person off the top of my head, but the way he acted the scene in general, it's very James, good acting and very good writing.
James Pickens Jr.
James Pickens Jr.
Yes.
Great job, and James Pickens Jr.
Yes, truly. But yeah, I think they're both very talented, and the way they play the scene between each other is very. I also just like the Thatcher at the beginning when he's like, oh, I've spent so many hours in front of this board holding a crying baby, like trying to figure out when I would see my wife. And I just like think it was just really an interesting look into the other side of what we're shown. Like, we're shown the doctors and, you know, they're all sleeping with the other doctors, but this is someone who's not a doctor. So it's like the other side of that.
It's also, I hope that there's more insight later, but I wasn't sure one way or the other if he actually knew about their affair just based on this scene alone.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Okay, so then Dr. Bailey goes to check up on the brain surgery child and tells him that she also has a son, and she's like, oh, tonight I'm going to tell him that I met the best speller in all of Seattle. And it's just like a nice moment. I just love Bailey. I think this is a great episode. It's a very different side of Bailey than what we've seen before, which I think they're trying to make the point of, is like, she can still be Bailey, but also like, she is different because she has gone through this change and now she has other, things going on in her life in addition to surgery, which she's clearly still very passionate about.
She's a mom now. It's a different side of her. That's all. It's a good side.
Meredith like sees Thatcher and kind of hides from him, and George sees that she's hiding and jumps in to like kind of protect her from him, which is nice. And we get George saying a lot of nice things about Meredith to Thatcher. Which is, I guess the first stepping stone of him moving forward past the bullshit. I think that's what they want us to believe, because he still doesn't like talk to Meredith afterwards. But it's nice. He's like, oh, sometimes she seems selfish. She's not cold, like Ellis, she's blah, all this stuff. So a lot of nice things that are true. And that he knows are true. He's just still mad, but it's nice that he can still recognize that just because this thing happened between them doesn't mean she's like a terrible person, even though that's how he's acting.
Yeah, and you can tell on the look on Thatcher's face is he's proud, but sad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
sad that he missed those. And that's
sad
when
that he doesn't have the opportunity to know her at all.
Yeah, and that's when we find out here, and I was racking my brain. I don't think we knew anything like this, but Ellis wouldn't let Thatcher see Meredith.
Yeah.
And that just sucks. There's so many statistics about what kids end up like when they don't get to be around a father figure, and that's just a bummer. Mm-hmm. Because I think we're also led to believe that Ellis doesn't remarry, but I could be wrong on that. I could have messed that up. But the way that she says thank you, George, at the end, and he just gently kind of silently acknowledges it and walks away, like,
yeah,
that erases two minor dumb things that George has done.
Yeah. Again, it's pretty clear that he's not like, oh, I forgive you now, but it's clear that that could be more of a possibility in the future, which is why I asked you that prediction from last week of like, when do you think George will get over his bullshit? Because obviously, like, unless he were to not be on the show anymore, he would at some point have to get over it. But this is, I think, the first step in that direction of it looking more like a possibility. Meredith tells Derek she saw her dad and met the sister. She's still knitting. Just all the knitting. This is such a good scene. This is one of my favorite Grace scenes. It's not like a main person scene. Is the mom and the daughter, and the mom's like giving the daughter all of this life advice, like crammed in, and that's how she basically is telling the daughter that she's dying. And it's like heartbreaking, but so well done on, like, it's so well written, and then both the mom and the daughter play it so well, and it's just like, oh, this is the first time I've watched it since having a kid, and I was like, oh man, this hits different.
Oh yeah, you're telling I'm when as soon as she started talking about the baby stuff, I was like, oh fuck, I'm emotional. I'm getting a little misty eyed.
Really, very rarely, if ever, cry at like television or movies, like ever. The most two recent movies I cried in were in both in 2019, and I was very pregnant. Well, I was very pregnant for one of them, and I was a little bit pregnant for the other ones. So, but other than that, I really very rarely cry at movies or television shows. There's like maybe three episodes of Grey's that makes me cry, but this one did get me a little misty.
I didn't cry. There's no movie that I can think of in my entire life that I've cried, but I will tell you, since having a kid, for the first time, I've never watched a movie for the first time and ever cried, but I was brushing my teeth like a week ago and I was watching basically the end of the end of Coco. And, I was like crying while brushing my teeth. I was like, oh my God. He wrote those songs for his daughter. And I was like, oh fuck, I'm a little baby child.
It changes you.
Especially anything. I don't care if it's a mom or a dad, but when it's involving a daughter, I'm like, fucking shit.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Now, yeah, for sure. There's one thing that will always make me cry in a movie, and that is if anything happens to a dog. So, like, most movies, like, you can tell if a dog's going to die, right? So you can tell, like, my dog, Skip, that dog was going to die. Marley and me, obviously that dog's going to die. So there's, like, I will, like, elect not
legend.
To watch those films. Like, I'm not going to watch this movie because I know this dog is going to die. When it comes to people, I'm like, yeah, yeah, they probably deserved it. If it's a dog, I'm like, everyone else should have died. And that dog should be alive.
Yeah. I didn't even cry at the I Am Legend scene with Will Smith when he choked out his dog.
Well, I didn't watch that, but because I knew
the German Shepherd,
so I wasn't going to watch it. Ugh, no thank you. Definitely a lot of things. And I've even been thinking about like Grey's episodes that I haven't watched in a while that I'm like, when this comes around, I feel like this one's going to get to me.
I need you to warn me if I need to emotionally prepare like a box of Kleenexes near me, okay?
Yeah, we're getting close to you needing to do that pretty soon here.
Great.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Can I also question, is the pantyhose yeast infection thing real?
I don't know. And I don't wear a lot of pantyhose, shockingly enough. I'm currently wearing Hello Kitty pajama pants.
Nice.
I wear a lot of athleisure clothes, even though I do not athleisure at all, because they're comfortable. But a lot of athleisure clothes has underwear built into it, so I don't really know how to answer like that question. I have not gotten a yeast infection from wearing pantyhose or ever, so I don't really know the logistics of how they work.
I'm not going to open this one to the audience. I don't want to know if this is true or not. Just, if it is true, don't tell us. Let us listen. Let us live our lives in blissful ignorance. Yeah, blissful ignorance. Thank you.
So, yeah, but at the end when she says, you're going to feel sad, but don't feel sad for too long, I'm just like, ouch, that makes me feel sad right now.
But not for too long.
Not for too long, but long enough to be sad. So then, it's the end of the day. Izzy gives Denny the sweater that she knitted, and she's like, oh, I knitted this while also knitting Meredith one, because I'm an insane person who apparently can knit 600 sweaters in a day. And then she gives it to Denny, and she's like, this is as close as you're going to get to getting in my pants or something inappropriate.
At first, she's like, smell it. And I wish she would have said I farted in it, but she didn't. But then Denny gets the best one-liner, and he goes, show me one boob. And I'm like, honestly, same, bro. Same.
Just one boob. He's just like, it smells like Izzy. And I'm like, you are spending too much time together. If he knows what you smell like, it's too much time. You're too close to that man. If he knows what you smell like physically and emotionally, but physically you are too close to him. If he knows what you smell like.
Yeah. But also there's studies that correlate between people with heart failure having 10 times increased nose strength.
You're making up lies again. This is what I talk about when I say you make up lies. It's when your favorite hobby is lying. Shit like this.
There's no lie unless you prove that it's wrong.
I have the internet, so I definitely can do that.
Okay. All right.
Can
if you
prove
feel
that
like
it's
you really,
right?
Can you prove that it's wrong? You have the burden of proof.
Probably.
Yeah, well.
You have the burden of being a liar.
Listen,
okay, so
if Amber Heard gets off, then I get off on everything.
Oh, my God,
everything.
I'll never. Do not get me started on that.
We stand Johnny Depp, I think. Do we both stand Johnny Depp?
Yeah, I mean, I will say their relationship was clearly wildly problematic, and they both have a lot of things in their lives that were very traumatic, and they somehow managed to find the human version of their emotional trigger and then marry that person. I truly do not believe that he ever was physically abusive to her, but I can't say he wasn't, like, verbally. It's like, we weren't there. But from listening to the testimony and all of the evidence shared by multiple people on both sides, it would seem like she was the aggressor in most of the situations. And I don't think she treated him very nice. Also, there's like audio of her being like, I wasn't punching you, I was hitting you, which is pretty damning evidence of the fact
also,
that she did in fact hit him.
It's very important to acknowledge that regardless if you are a man or a woman, if you are being... if there's any domestic violence towards you, speak up, say something.
If you, it's hard though, because I think there's a lot of nuance to a lot of those. Unfortunately, those situations have a lot of gray areas to them. But we do hope the best for, if you know someone who needs help, you know, there's so many, resources now that people like outside the situation can try and help. And try and get help for these people, because there's just, unfortunately, it happens more often than we'd like to think. But yes, be nice to people.
Just don't hit anyone.
Story.
Just don't
hit
anyone.
Don't also emotionally or verbally abuse people either. Pretty please.
Yeah. Don't
That's
ever crack
ask.
Plates over people's heads either.
Yeah, don't do that. That would qualify. Anyways... We're doing great. We are healed.
We're healed.
I wrote, Izzy and Denny are in inappropriate love. And I find them annoying.
Denny, not so much. He's actually not doing anything wrong.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that because I feel like as a patient that that is a line that you shouldn't cross. However, between the two of them, I guess what he is doing is like slightly less wrong, because at this point there's no like, oh, is she into it? Like, does she not want me to keep going? Like she kissed him. Like she initiated the physical contact.
Yeah.
So I definitely would say that the relationship is inappropriate. Izzy is technically breaking rules. I guess there's not really rules that say don't hit on your doctor. There's like social codes that say don't hit on your doctor, but there's not technical rules that say you'll lose your job if you do this.
You're going to be denied treatment.
We're going to just let you continue to die.
The Hippocratic Oath knows only one weakness, and it's if you hit on the doctor tasked with saving your life.
They will not save you. Anyways, it's weird. But yes, I would agree that Denny is a more likable character. Christina then goes to Dr. Weber and asks him how he was able to do the technique with the eyes closed. And he's like, sometimes you just have to go back to the basics, which leads to one of the funniest scenes that we've had up to this point, in my opinion, where Burke and George are sitting at the kitchen playing something or another. And Christina just like walks out into the kitchen fully nude. And it is hilarious. And George immediately covers his eyes. And Burke is like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm being comfortable in my apartment. And that is what we call passive aggressive. And we stand. And then Burke immediately kicks George out, which is hilarious. And how we get to the Callie living in the hospital weird haircut kiss scene. So yeah, he calls Callie and hears her phone ringing and goes and finds her in like the basement of the hospital, which is weird for so many reasons.
And how he's the first person to kick her out. Like no one has ever walked by and heard. She's never gotten a phone call after hours until this moment.
Yeah, I'm like, I understand that like they've played off this hallway as being like where the interns hang out, but other people have also come down there. So like where, I don't understand. Also, if you have to preface something by saying I'm not crazy because you know that the thing makes you look crazy, then maybe you should reevaluate the thing that you're doing.
But also imagine the amount of money she's saving.
That's true.
But yeah, I didn't like the haircut question.
And she gets there fat first for all the surgeries and stuff.
Well, that's why she's a professional. I didn't like the fact that he asked her for a haircut, because don't ask other people for haircuts if they aren't trained professionals. That's just my stance on hair.
Well,
but also,
fun fact, your wife did cut my hair, so.
Yeah, well, that's fine that she cut your hair. My rule for me and my life is I'm not going to ask anyone to cut my hair unless they're a trained, licensed professional. Yeah, the kiss thing, I had to think about it. I was trying to think back on it. I understand where you're coming from, but I truly, at this point, I have no idea what is going to happen between George and Callie.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. And I still, you know, don't find George to be terribly likable, so I don't really know what the writers are wanting us. Like, again, are we supposed to be on Team George? Because I'm not. So it's hard to say. But yeah, I just wrote, is this the implication that this is their first kiss? I really can't tell. Like, it's just kind of like, it's definitely a tense moment. And there's supposed to be obviously sexual tension between the two of them. And it just, I don't know. It's just a weird scene. If you feel inspired to go back and watch it, maybe I'm wrong. But I rewound it like 3 times and I was like, then I was thinking back, I was like, have they kissed? Like, surely their first date wasn't them hanging out with Christina and Burke playing charades. And then like, for again, like what you were saying, for her to go on that speech about like, he makes my world stop, I'm like, and you haven't kissed yet? Like, I don't understand. It's just a weird dynamic. That
if you're listening to this part of the episode and you have an opinion on this scene specifically, email us at Grey's Academy Pod or reach out to us on Instagram at Grey's Academy Pod. Oh, sorry, at Grey's Academy Pod at gmail.com and then on Instagram at Grey's Academy Pod, because we want to know, because I truly could see it going either way.
Yeah, I could also see it going either way. So I'm just intrigued to see how other people took it. It's just odd to me. I don't really know what the deal is, because clearly they're like dating, but it's, and you know, George is a weirdo, so maybe he hasn't kissed her yet. Who's to say? And then we get the final scene where Meredith goes to the vet to check on Doc, and the vet comes down and he's super hot. So she just like starts knitting really aggressively, because it's so funny, because she's going to have sex with him because he's so hot.
Just another cookie cutter, white bearded man.
He's attractive, but yeah, he's, you know, it's just another, you know, everyone on Grace is attractive. That's just what it is. They're just all attractive people. So that's the end.
All right. Finn Dandridge gives this episode.
Why do you remember his name?
Because I wrote it down.
Oh, interesting.
I'm Finn Dandridge. Of course you are, dude. Of course you fucking are. Get out of here, Finn. The only Finns we stan are Finn from that movie Tangled, played by Zachary Levi.
Okay, that was Flynn, and we also stan Finn from Star Wars, so you need to get it together.
You're right. I genuinely forgot that his name was... His name is Finn Rider!
You're doing
my bad. And yes, we do stan Finn, played by John Boyega, FN2187.
Did you finish Moon Knight? Holy shit, that show is good. God damn, this is an off mic conversation.
It was just okay.
Okay, this is now an off mic argument. So we'll get to that.
All right, all right. I give this episode a 4.
Yes, very nice. Tell me why.
And if this is your first time listening, because you really found yourself here because you're a big ABBA fan, we go on a scale of 1 through 5, 1 being med student, 2 being intern, 3 being resident, 4 being fellow, 5 being attending, and we give our scale at the end of each episode. So listen in to the full episode if you want our ratings. If you don't care about our ratings, then just listen to the first 5 minutes, then hang up. I don't know. So I liked basically it came down to all the one-liners. The one-liner with Meredith about sex, the one-liner with Denny and Izzy, Denny, their interactions with the boob thing, the mount thing. It's just funny. Christina getting so jazzed up with her competition about Weber. Weber saying he did that shit with his eyes closed and he's flawless and they call me the chief. The Alex scene, Bailey just being a great person. The funny quirkiness with Addison in the bar at the beginning, because we're friends. There's a lot of good small things, and the scene with the mom and the daughter was really, really good. And overall, and even George and Thatcher, like, that was a good scene.
Yeah.
There was nothing in this episode that outright annoyed me, and nothing dramatic or explosive, but it was just an overall good episode. So I'm giving it a fellow.
I have to agree with basically everything you just said. Like, it's definitely a really solid episode. Lots of great scenes, great performances by the actors. Nothing like wildly life-changing, but not a dull episode. It's because the last couple ones where it's been like, okay, nothing's happening and it's kind of dull. But this one was kind of like, okay, well, nothing crazy happened, but like, it was a great episode. And all the movement, character movement is positive. Like, maybe we see George getting over things. Maybe we see a little more about the relationship with Meredith and Thatcher, kind of. See more about Alex. See that Izzy and Denny are... Oh, also, you were wrong, because it's been 2 episodes and he's still alive, so.
Damn it! I mean, I'm glad he's alive, but damn it, I hate being wrong.
Do you want to revamp the Denny and Izzy prediction situation?
I just want to to renew my two episode subscription.
Okay, so in two episodes he'll be dead.
Yeah, two more episodes. Give that motherfucker two episodes. You'll be dead in no time.
Perfect. I like your strategy. Yeah, I think it was great. Lots of good things, lots of funny moments. Christina coming out naked at the end is hilarious to me every time. Yeah, I was trying to think if there's any other predictions you need to change or add on to, but I think you're in a good spot mostly, other than the Denny thing.
How many episodes do we have left for this season? Five?
Yeah.
Okay. So next week, I want a list of things that you want me to predict before the end of this season. So things that I think will happen before this season is over after next episode. I'm also going
to try and get together a list of things that you said were going to happen before the second season ends, because I feel like it was a pretty hefty list. So we're going to have to revisit them and see if you want to change any of them at all.
Why have you not been writing down every single prediction I've made ever?
I have them tattooed on my leg.
Oh, that's what those are.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Please reach out if you have things you want Garmin to predict, questions you want him to answer. I can try and phrase them in a spoiler-free way if possible. If not possible, then I'm not going to ask them, because obviously we don't want to spoil anything. But reach out, let us know where you're listening from, how you found us. Please tell your friends, like, comment, subscribe. Give us a rating if you have a moment. We'll read it on the air. 5-star rating or a review, whatever, on the whatever platform you're listening to. We really appreciate it. It helps people find us. We are just watching those numbers go up, and it's really cool to see like new listeners coming and finding us, and we really appreciate it. I just think that's really cool that you guys like us, because we like us, but we are pretty self-involved, so
right. And we also compliment each other a lot, so it's like, hey Kelsey, you're great. Hey Carmen, you're great. So hearing it from outside of this like feedback loop is really, really good.
The echo chamber we created of our friendship.
You're so great.
Oh my God, I love you so much. But yeah, if you do reach out, just always remember,
no spoilers. Don't even think about it. Don't do it. Don't cheat. No cheaters. Don't pass go. No collecting $200. And we will see you all in the next one.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.